I got it on my Kindle to read. So
that you can make the font bigger.
So I can make the font bigger. Yes.
The easy comfort font.
The easy comfort
That's yeah. I can't believe that you would actually admit that. Well, but the wonderful thing is, I love this notion of Don with my book and like a smoking jacket next to the fire, like a brandy.
Don't forget his Merlot.
My Merlot. As a matter of fact, yeah, I'm working on some Chateau Saint-Michel right now.
Welcome to this episode of Simply Radio. I am Pia, sitting in for Mike Shelton. With us tonight is owner and webmaster of Simply Script, Don Boos, and Michael Cornetto. Our guest tonight is author Jason Henderson, whose latest book is Alex Van Helsing, Vampire Rising, and is published by HarperCollins. Welcome to our little show.
Hey, thank you for having me.
After Michael told me that I was going to be the host, I thought I better look you up, you know, and I went like, wow, you actually done quite a lot, and I'm impressed. So please tell us about yourself, how you got started and finally get your foot in the door, so to speak.
Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do. What I will do is, gosh, I've been writing a lot of stuff, so I'll skip from the beginning sort of to the end. So I don't know. I've always considered myself a professional writer who just did all kinds of things. So I've written comic books, and I've written computer games. After I got out of law school, I was completely unemployable as a lawyer because I've been writing novels or trying to. And so I worked in the computer game industry for about 10 years as a writer. And what ended up happening is that this is my debut. This book that you're talking about, Alex Van Helsing, is my debut as a writer of young adult novels. And the way that came about is that I had not attempted to write a novel in about 10 years. And a friend of mine from high school who was an agent in New York called me up and said, hey, I hear that you write, you know, let's pitch something together. And I was like, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I could do a whole book. And he's like, no. And I took about a year to actually get back to him. And finally I said, okay, all right, let's pitch something in, you know, about teenage vampire hunters. And he says, great. And the moment we actually started working together, we put together a pitch. I used some of the backstory from the comic books that I had been writing. Some of the same characters and would show up between the comics and the novels. Came up with an all new novel where you wouldn't have to know about that stuff, but it used a lot of that same world. And it immediately got picked up by HarperCollins. It was just that quickly. I mean, we started pitching it in January, and We finally had a deal in place. I mean, it may have taken 3 or 4 months, but it worked really fast.
That's still pretty impressive. I mean, we have, for example, one of our, he's actually a moderator, and I was hoping that he would be on tonight, but I guess he's busy, you know, being Saturday night and all that. His name is George Wilson, and he also writes, he writes screenplays and he writes novels as well. Mm. And his question to you was, if he could not be on the show, is that, how did you get HarperCollins to sign you? I mean, yeah. It's pretty hard. I mean, the best you can do is just send them a query. I mean, did they just love your log line or synopsis or what?
What we pitched with. So if you want to, the funny thing is I actually go around and do a whole presentation on how to launch a young adult series from pitch to shelves. That's literally a PowerPoint presentation that I've given now, you know, at things like, you know, trade shows and schools and what have you. So there is a technique to that. But in this case, we put together a pitch document, which was literally it had a log line, just like you would have for a screenplay. Mm-hmm. And then it had a treatment, literally like you would write, not for a movie, but more like what you would write for a TV series. It was a treatment that ran about 15 pages. I mean, it literally went through the mood, it went through the potential marketing, it went through you know, bio stuff about me, everything that I had done, you know, because there with your stuff about yourself, you're just trying to prove that you're going to be reliable, that if they sign a book with you, you'll turn it in.
Yeah. Okay, so it didn't really have anything to do, like, with you having any special connections or anything like that?
Well, I had an agent, so I wasn't coming out of, it wasn't a cold call or anything. I think if I didn't have an agent, you'd probably have to start with a query. But in this case, I did have a book agent who had at least the ability to send the treatment to HarperCollins. He may well have started with a query, by the way. That I don't know about.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Pete, can I jump in?
What
is a query?
Yeah, I by the way, I love this nuts and bolts stuff. So the more
oh yeah, me too.
If you guys want to talk about this, I love getting into, you know, like how stuff gets pitched, how it gets sold, how it changed. We went through two entire pitches for this. But a query in the universe of books, you know, can have a lot of formats, but very simply it's a short letter, and I stress short. It'll have they all look the same. They get straight to the point. I or my client is X, and the book that we're pitching is called Y, and it's about Z, and in it, and then you have essentially a logline kind of description, you know, an unhappy businessman in Nazi Germany decides he's going to employ every Jew and stop from any weapons from being made. You know, that's the story of Schindler's List. I mean, that, you know, and you try to get it into like one little paragraph.
And then if you like the nuts and bolts things, and I think that the people at SimpliScript that listen to these things, I think their question would be, well, how did you get the agent? Because that's a big problem for people that write screenplays, you know. How do you even get an agent?
Well, now, and interestingly enough, I mean, I don't have an agent in screenplays. So, for instance, I don't know for when it comes to...
But I would assume that it's kind of similar, maybe?
Yes, it would be. So the first time around that I had an agent, a number of years ago when I wanted to get into writing books before, because I should step back and say that I made an attempt at writing books when I was a lot younger, and I just sort of lost interest in it pretty quickly, so the career didn't really go anywhere, because I got into games instead. But when I first started out, I sold my first two books literally on spec. I mean, they were literally the way that somebody might write a screenplay, you know, just saying, hey, I got a great idea about a giant monster in Venice, and write it and send it out, and somebody published my little fantasy novels, you know, and that was kind of cool. And then having made a sale, however humble, I then was able to call a couple of agencies and say, listen, I made a sale. Would you guys like to rep my next stuff? And that was literally how it went, is I already had some work. I mean, look, this is the oldest story in the book, is that you really need an agent to get a good job. But a lot of times you need to have at least an okay job to get an agent in the first place. It's terribly true.
Wow.
Okay. Since you have written novels, you've written comedy. I mean, comic books and games. Which one do you prefer, and what's the difference in writing the different medias?
Well, you know, it's funny. I get to think about this a lot here because, for instance, with Alex Van Helsing, not only am I writing novels and also going back and writing comics at the same time, but sometimes they're about some of the same characters, because the Alex Van Helsing books, even though the people who read them don't necessarily know this, they're in the same universe as the sort of Dracula comic book that I write. And so it gives me a chance to really compare those two. The difference is with comic books, you write a script. I mean, it literally feels like a script for a TV series.
Yeah.
Like I'm doing.
And Jason, this is why the one of the main reasons why I pushed so hard to have you on this, because I'm really curious about the comic book scripting. Not to derail your train of thought here, but
no. But let's talk about it, because I'm working on it right now, because Marvel Comics has hired me to do a 3-issue miniseries this summer called Shadowlands, Daughters of the Shadow, which is about an all-female hit squad, you know, a bunch of female assassins who ride motorcycles and use martial arts techniques to kill mobsters. And I mean, you know.
So kind of like never,
we all know those kind of women.
This is awesome. I mean, I'm really excited about this. And it's my first chance to work in the Marvel Universe. But the way that that gets done, you literally, I use Final Draft, just like I would if I were writing a full-length screenplay. In fact, I've blogged a little bit. If you go into my blog at alexvanhelsing.com, I've gone into some of the format of what a script looks like.
I was amazed that other guys, way of doing things looked totally different from your way.
Yes, absolutely. You have guys who have completely different methods. And as I said, you know, some of the older methods are really based on kind of a universe before everybody had a copy of Final Draft on their computer. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think nowadays, since so many comic book writers are also TV writers and movie writers, they've got Final Draft and if the listeners don't know, and I'll bet you that every single one of your listeners does know, but if they don't, you know, Final Draft just automatically makes it easy for you to put your dialogue in the center and so forth. So I'm writing these scripts, and they literally are going to be like a half-hour TV show. It's broken up into scenes and so forth, and you're using the slugs like interior, exterior, you know, exterior, dark alley, you know, so forth. And the only thing that makes it appropriate for a comic in particular is that you have to be really careful to describe what the viewer, what the reader is going to see, because the script needs to make sense to the artist. And so to that end also, of course, I'm breaking it up page for page. So I'll say like page one and then 1, 2, 3, 4 being panels, 1, 2, 3, 4, because a comic book is broken up into panels. There's also other things you need to know, such as, you know, a comic book is 22 pages long. So.
Well, I noticed on your blog there that you said that when you write for comics, that the writer is the writer and, the artist is the director.
Yes.
I thought that was quite interesting.
I believe that sincerely. Not all writers believe that. I mean, and that's one of the big differences between novels and comics. I mean, in a novel, you know, you call the shots, you know all the characters, everything is exactly what you decide. In a comic, in the end, you know, a lot of people are going to buy the comic for, you know, a favorite artist or because they like the art. So I really feel when I'm writing a comic that I'm part of the team. And so I need to come up with a story that's going to be exciting, but that's going to give the artist a lot of stuff to do. And then I need to give the artist the freedom to let it breathe. So I can decide, hey, this 2-page scene, we have 2 pages of room to do the scene where she breaks into the massage parlor and kills all the guys and breaks all the girls out.
I love this, you know, because, woman.
Yes. And, you know, we got 2 pages for this scene and these are the beats. But, you know, I'll always say, look, if you need to make it breathe more, if you need to eliminate some of the business I've put in or come up with a different idea, I prefer that the artist just do that and then come back and say, hey, this is what I came up with. And then I can change the dialogue. Especially, there's something else to point out that I really believe that the artist, the more freedom you give the artist, the more they'll come up with something really cool. And the more you constrain an artist, the more you get something that's kind of not as exciting.
So which one of these three do you prefer to write for? Novel, comics, or
games?
Yeah.
That's really tough. I think that novels and comics would run neck and neck. I think games are a lot of fun, but the writer really is much more of a functionary. Whereas with, between novels and comics, it just depends on whether you feel like playing in a band or doing a solo mm-hmm. project. So they're equal to me.
Do you write screenplays at all?
I do. I have written screenplays. In fact, the first comic book that I wrote that I owned was actually based on a spec script that I had written about a girl who hunted vampires. And in fact, Sword of Dracula, the first version of it that I wrote was intended to be a spec script and then turned into a comic.
Have you ever thought of like this Van Helsing stuff? Have you ever thought of turning that into like a screenplay or anything like that?
You know, wow, that's a, you know, it's with Alex Van Helsing, it's such a big project. I mean, because now, you know, it's published by this major publisher. So could I write a script? I probably could if somebody asked me to. I think if somebody wanted to make, for instance, a movie out of Alex Van Helsing.
Oh,
I'm sorry?
I'm just saying that would be excellent.
And, it would be excellent.
I'll get back into it later on when you're finished. Sorry.
Well, the thing of it is, when you get to a project where there are like these big players involved, like Harper or whatever, it becomes a question of, is Jason the best choice to write a screenplay like that? Or would you want somebody who like is the best screenwriter that you can get? Like, I know that I'm good, but if I could get somebody better, wouldn't it be better to have somebody better? On the other hand, maybe I would be the one who could do it. So it's tough, but I have to really put on my kind of product manager hat and look at it and go, you know, who's the best person for each of these roles?
Okay, well, I know that Don has a bunch of things to say, so maybe we should turn it over to Don a little bit, see what kind of questions he has for you.
Oh, Piet, man, you've been knocking it out of the park. I was like gonna kick back, but actually I do.
My nickname is Slugger.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. You know,
Slugger.
Jason, one thing is a while back that you had given me about 5 or 6 pages of the Sword of Dracula, the script. And
I play innocent, but I actually really totally do want to write the script, by the way. I mean, it's obvious.
You know,
it's just it's politically it often doesn't happen that way.
Yeah. But the Sword of Dracula, the Dracula Wars, where I got this, you gave me the script, or at least part of the script, and you also gave me the images along with it. Was that originally, was that script intended to be a movie, or was that a script for the graphic novel?
I'll tell you exactly what that was. So we started out with a graphic novel called Sword of Dracula, which is about a secret agent named Ronnie Van Helsing who fights vampires. And Ronnie Van Helsing is actually the sister of Alex Van Helsing, who's the guy in this young adult book series.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a miniseries, a comic book miniseries, where she teams up with Dracula to stop a bunch of fallen angels. And that's the one that's being reprinted by IDW this summer in trade paperback. As a follow-up, I wrote a complete script, a screenplay, you know, before we even decided whether or not we were going to do a comic, and that was called The Dracula War.
Mm-hmm.
And in this one, Dracula, who is, of course, the most powerful vampire and terrorist on Earth, decides to take over the Denver airport and fill it with zombies and hold on to it because of his own crazy, mysterious plans. And we had a team together and we started working on a comic book for that, although the comic book has not as of yet come together. So I'm exploring other stuff with that. You know, it might be a comic. It might just stay as a script. It might become something else. It might be a novel. You know, that's what's cool is that, you know, the Polydorium is something that I've created and, you know, I like the idea of continuing to build this universe. You know, like I said, Ronnie, and that's in that story is Alex's sister, even though it takes place years apart. And Alex actually shows up in Sword of Dracula.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw that and this is like, it's either spoilerific or it's going to go beyond everyone else, but is Ronnie's vision any better than Alex's?
Is
this is an inside joke, okay? For everyone else.
Ronnie, The deal of it is, so yes, Ronnie has good vision. Okay. Alex has terrible, terrible, terrible vision. Alex is 14 years old and he's just gotten glasses. I mean, he's just gotten contact lenses for the first time and he's having a terrible time with it. He's blind as a bat. I mean, and I had exactly this problem where I have, you know, just very bad nearsightedness to the point where somebody, you know, standing across the room from me would be just a big sort of flesh-colored blur. And so he has that problem, and he started wearing contacts, but he hates them. And it was so much fun to mess with just – I don't remember reading anybody else dealing with all of this of just what a nightmare it is to start messing with contact lenses. You know, or maybe it's just me, you know, but I really –
Yeah, and if you don't mind, I would like to segue into Alex Van Helsing, Vampire Rising. I mean, because I bought the book. Now,
okay.
I bought the book in part because I have a 14-year-old and I have a 9-year-old sons, and they're reading young adult novels. And my oldest son has, you know, he's just finished Thirsty. We had watched on BBC America Demons, which was, again, one of these Son of Van Helsing kind of series. And I figured...
That's what I hear. I haven't actually seen it, but I have heard of the series.
And that was, Jason, not based on the fact that I actually happen to know who you are, but it was based on watching the show that I got this for my son, who's about halfway through it. And I've just completely lost my train of thought. The upshot is that I've been going back and reading a lot of young adult novels. Joe Haldeman's, he just came out with Starbound and Marsbound. I've been reading some Highline young adults. So I've been kind of in that stage. And so when your book came out, you know, I got it for my kids and I figured, hey, I'll read it too. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's not just a young adult novel. I think, What I find most interesting is that because I have some knowledge of, you know, Mary Shelley, Frankenstein. I know who Polidori is.
Uh-huh.
I've read Dracula, and reading this, I'm so looking forward to when my son gets older, after having read this, and then going in and getting into Frankenstein and getting into Dracula and saying, oh my God. You know, when I was a kid, I read this book, and it was all about this guy.
Yes. And they're supposed to be almost in jokes that you don't need to get right now. I mean, that you know, if you haven't read, so just for the listener, you know, yeah, everybody in the book, Alex Van Helsing, you know, in their universe, all the stuff that's ever been in vampire books before is probably at least based on truth. So all the great books like Dracula and so forth are important, and so everybody's concerned about them, and so the writers of those books are important people in the backstory. Yeah. But we try to present, and by we, I mean, you know, the editors and I went back and forth on a lot of this stuff. We try to present whatever information that you need about that stuff as like simply and part of the plot as you can make it. I mean, to the extent that when you think about, like, what's the movie with Nicolas Cage where he's chasing after various secrets? Like National Treasure.
Treasure?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. National Treasure. You don't have to actually know anything about the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence or Thomas Jefferson to kind of get it and kind of get that Nicolas Cage knows all about Thomas Jefferson. And this is the same thing, you know, that the guys in this book know everything about Mary Shelley. They know everything about Polidori, you know, and so you can kind of go along with them and enjoy how sort of crazy they are for knowing all this stuff. I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I want people, like, later on, you know, when they read Frankenstein, maybe in college or something, to go, oh, wow, you know, this is that guy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
You
know. I love the setting, Lake Geneva.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I love the setting, actually I really love the library scene, and Michael, you can let me know if we have enough time or not, cuz I can just totally go off on this, but I really enjoyed the library scene. It's interesting. When I was in college, I dated a an English major, and I was looking for a book on English literature, and I was wandering around the shelves, and I was in the wrong place. And she says to me, she says, "You're supposed to be an 823. That's English literature." Like, duh. And well, this is like the one thing that I got out of this relationship with this woman is as I was reading through this, and Sanger sends Alex in looking for a book, and he's in 823, which is English literature. Yes. And I'm like, wow, what an attention to detail. I was really, I just thought that was really cool.
That the book was actually at its proper at its proper call sign. Yeah.
Well, actually, I have a question about that because I was really impressed. I was like, "Wow, 823. That's English literature. Who and all this stuff." But a while later, you had sent out your reading list, the books that you had researched.
Uh huh.
And I'm going to put you on the spot, Jason. But,
okay.
So the book that Alex is looking for is The Monsters.
And yes.
823, and the call number is 823-H-H-O-O, okay?
Uh-huh.
So that's really cool. And so anyways, you printed out the books you looked at. And,
yes.
And one of them was...
This is a list on Amazon, in case anybody's wondering what he's talking about. And it's on Amazon where I said all the books that I used for this book. Yes.
Right, and it will be in the show notes. So
I love my Merlot.
I actually looked it up, and it's an actual book. It's The Monsters.
Yes.
No, seriously.
And there's a story about that.
Wait a minute. Well, let me say my part, and then I want to hear your story on this because there's a book called The Monsters. It's Mary Shelley and the Curse of Frankenstein. It's written by Dorothy and Thomas Hobler.
Yep.
Now the thing about it is that that's a biography. So Sanger sends him off into the English literature section looking for a biography of Mary Shelley. So I'm like, what's up with that?
Well, I'm pretty sure that I just grabbed the Dewey Decimal call numbers for that book, probably by looking in the catalog of like my local public library.
Oh, really?
So it may very well be that it was just that. Yeah, you know, if a book can be filed in two places, sometimes it'll go there. By the way, it doesn't read like a biography of Mary Shelley.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I recommend that book a lot. I mean, there were like two books. You know, we consider this as a vampire book. I did a lot of research on Frankenstein here, and I recommend that book. It was called The Monsters, Mary Shelley and the Curse of Frankenstein.
Right.
And it had everything you ever wanted to know about Lord Byron and who's the main bad guy in this book, and Polidori. But what I was going to say was I actually called them on the phone. The Hublers. Yeah, because they live in New York. And I knew that the key to this book was going to be whether or not something Mary Shelley had said in her introduction to Frankenstein was true. So I called them up and I said, "Listen, Mary says this thing in her introduction to Frankenstein. Can you find anything in your notes that backs up whether or not anybody else said this?" And they like got, they're on a, you know, this couple, this lovely couple, you know, on their little extension phones, both of them talking, and like you could hear them, you know, pulling books off the shelf and going,
"Oh, that is so cool."
It's great.
Now, wait a minute. Can we get their? I would love to get their reaction that in your book that you put them into English literature as opposed to biography.
Oh my gosh! I don't think I've even told them. I wonder. Wow. Oh my goodness! I need to let them know. I've been so distracted that I've.
You know, I'm really pleased though because you know there's going to be some nerd kid out there, hopefully like me, that's going to go through this. And, you know, he's going to read your book. And then, because I know that Alex also almost gets nailed by a copy of Child Herald.
Yes.
And, I thought that was absolutely brilliant. And if I can, for just a moment, give my dick review of this.
I have one question later, too. Sure. So.
Okay. But anyway, so this book, Child Herald, which, by the way, is actually Child Herald's Pilgrimage, comes out. It's a heavy tome, apparently, that comes out and nails Alex in the head. In 12-point font, it's actually about 185 pages, which is about like three-quarters the size of your book. I mean, seriously, okay. How much damage is that going to do to Alex?
Well, maybe this was actually an annotated copy that had, like, a lot of essays and things.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's what I... That would be my quickest possible response to that.
Oh, really? Yeah, it's just so funny because, you know, I'm reading through this, and I love doing this, is that when books are referenced in another book, I totally blindsided you on this, is I actually do go back and look at the book, even though I just basically, you know, just kind of perused your book.
I have a question. Like I have a question before we wrap
Please.
Up.
Please.
Okay. We're at 1 minute.
Please, Don, go fill up your glass and come back, okay?
I took a drink out of the bottle. Sorry.
Okay. Well, my question would be with the recent success of the movie Twilight. Do you think? I mean, this is pretty good timing on your part. I mean, did you even know this was coming, or what? And how do you think it might help you?
Well, the funny thing is, I've been writing, you know, books about these anti-vampire spies since the last vampire. You know, round, you know, with, you know, I don't know, like before I knew Twilight existed, but, it can only help. It can only help. I don't have romantic vampires, but I'm planning some, events and things like that to promote Alex Van Helsing that can coincide with the release of the new Twilight. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, if a vampire thing is doing well, you know, that's only good for us.
Well, it's not just the romantic thing. I mean, you had the Let the Right One In, the Swedish movie too. So it seems like vampires are kind of hot. I don't know.
Well, okay, they are. And Let the Right One In is, in fact, that's being remade, in fact, by the...
I know, and that's terrible.
Oh, you're not happy about the... About,
no, well, I'm Swedish, goddammit.
Yeah, but that yeah, you come from a country where like everybody speaks like 9 languages, whereas we, you know, with I think I'm really excited about the notion of you know, seeing a new presentation of that story. It can't hurt, and then for the purists, it'll lead them back to the older version.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it's just like, and I know we got to wrap this up, but it's what's interesting is that you know, this, you know, Alex Van Helsing, Vampire Rising, although it is a young adult novel, I bought it from my kids. One is about halfway through it, judging by his bookmark, and the fat kid is on 3 pages. I had to pay him $10. Not because the book is bad, it's because he's on a whole different series, but...
Oh, yes.
It did. My point is, and I'll have one, I'll shut up so Pia can wrap this up, is that it really did make me go back and look at Polidori, look at The Vampire by Polidori, at, you know, Bram Stoker's Dracula again, you know, looking for chinks in your book.
Uh-huh.
And looking through Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. And actually I did. I actually Googled, you know, Lake Geneva because I was trying to see, because I mean, there's some certain attention to detail you put into this, and I was actually kind of curious to see if some of these locations, were actually there other than the, chateau. So anyways, for me, although I'm an adult, young adult novels, I read it and there was something in there for me that I knew my kid wouldn't get. So anyways, I think it's a great book.
I really appreciate that.
No problem. And, Pia, I'll shut up and I'll let you wrap this one up for us.
Well, I just want to thank Jason for coming on. And, do you have any web addresses or anything else that you want to direct anybody to? Let us know. Tell me.
Well, I would say people can go to alexvanhelsing.com and check out the blog and leave comments or really the Facebook page. Just go to Facebook and Alex Van Helsing has a page and you can leave comments there and be a fan and if you leave something, I'll respond and
yes.
I totally want to hear people's comments. Absolutely.
Well, I appreciate you coming on, and if you see any comments from some weirdo called Dark Matter, that would be me. So
excellent.
I want to thank you again for coming on.
Okay, and I got one more thing. If you guys, if you read this book and you have ideas of what you want to see, You know, we've got two more Alex Van Helsing books coming, so, you know, I'll listen to your comments.
Well, LASIK, keep us posted.
LASIK, all right. Surgery.
LASIK surgery.